Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections. I'm Jennifer Mealy, your host on WHJB. Thanks so much for joining us today. With us on the line is Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson, along with his deputy coroner, Al Lonzo. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to have you both on today. I really enjoy talking about all of your initiatives and all of the connections and trends that you're discovering about Westmoreland County. Now, let's recap. How long have you been coroner now?
Well, I took office in 2022, January of 2022, and yeah, it's been since then, and time goes so quick. That's one thing with this job. Led me to appreciate how precious life is, number one, and how quick things go. So yeah, it seems like yesterday I was sworn in.
It's unbelievable. Now, tell us a little bit about where you grew up, your education and your career before you became coroner.
Well, I graduated. I'm from the southern part of the county. I went to Southmoreland High School and graduated in 1989, and then went to Waynesburg College, which is now Waynesburg University, and graduated there in 1993 with a degree in accounting and business management, and proceeded then, got involved. My family had a business down there, a restaurant, and got involved with the running and management of that for a couple of years. And then in early 2000, I took a position in the sheriff's office under, at that time, Sheriff Chris Scheer, who is now a common pleas judge. And I was a desk sergeant in the beginning, and then I took over the community affairs programs for the office, and writing grants and going out in the community and trying to do some different things. And worked there until 2011. And then for a year, I was in the Register of Wills as their chief deputy in that office. So I did that, and then got involved back into the, our family, business. And we have a, catering business we've been almost 30 years involved with. And then, decided to run for coroner in 2021, and fortunately was successful. I was also the mayor of Scottsdale back in my mid-20s, so that was something I really enjoyed. At the time, I was the youngest mayor in the state, and we did a lot of good things with, getting our downtown going and that again. So yeah, I've definitely had a great career, and just want to keep going forward.
You have, and I've been someone on the sidelines watching that career. I've worked with you in many capacities and very proud to see you as Westmoreland County Coroner. And one of the initiatives that we've covered as journalists over the years is your initiative to really find a resting place for cremains of veterans. So tell us from the beginning what you noticed when you came into office and what you thought you needed to do about that.
Well, back in early 2022, when first couple of days I was in office, they were giving me a tour of the facility down here where we're located in South Greensburg. And there was like an evidence room, and there was like a stack of boxes, almost like cupcake boxes. And I said, "What are those?" And those the person who was giving me the tour said, "Those are our unclaimed cremated remains. And so if someone dies and we can't reach next of kin, or maybe we can reach next of kin, and we see if they're going to take financial responsibility for their person that died. If they don't, then we assume responsibility. So we pay to get them cremated, and then we house them here at the forensic center." And that was something that there was nothing wrong with, where they were kept or anything like that. I want to be clear with that. But I proceeded to look into maybe doing something. I reached out to other coroners in the state, because again, at that time I was only in office for a couple weeks. So I reached out to some other coroners, and a few of them had different things that they do. A few of them had like a mausoleum that they would, keep the remains in. Some of them kept them in the, in an evidence room, all kinds of different things that they had done. And then I proceeded to, as I dug in more into it, I found out there was an organization called the Missing in America Project that took care of any veterans that were unclaimed, and they didn't have any, family or anyone that had claimed them. So we submitted, at that time it was 57 names to that organization with like their birth dates and their date of death and social security number. We submitted that and they submitted it to the Department of Defense to see if they were veterans. And at that time, it turned out that 15 of the 57 were, you know, United States veterans. We actually had two brothers, the Moyer brothers, who were veterans. So we, you know, proceeded to, you know, set up something with the Cemetery of Alleghenies, where they would do a full military funeral down in Bridgeville. We had a nice service here in our county back on July 22nd that, you know, we had organizations from four different states come, a lot of the motorcycle groups that support these types of initiatives come and, you know, took part in the day. And then we had a full procession down to the Cemetery of Alleghenies. It was a couple miles long. Senator Ward was instrumental in, you know, getting, you know, construction halted on 70 so we could, you know, move the remains down there. And, you know, short of, you know, children being born and that sort of thing, it was definitely one of the most moving days of my life. It was something that I'll never forget. Just seeing that whole, you know, ceremony and how, you know, crisp and just everything and just how it was very humbling for me. It was a moment that I'll never forget. So at that point, I got appointed one of the directors. It's all volunteer organization for the state to, you know, if anyone needs help in reaching out to your funeral directors or anything, they can contact me and I can, you know, submit it to the, you know, the Missing in America project. And I have clearance. I can submit it to the Department of Defense as well. So it's worked out. It's worked out well. And, you know, we're in the process of, that was something I wanted to do with the other remains and not lessen what they, you know, their lives or anything like that. So, you know, it's been kind of a journey with that. But at the end of the month, we're going to have a ceremony up in our pauper cemetery. It's right up by the jail. We're going to move. We actually have 52 now because we've counting the veterans though, right? 54. Okay. We have 54 cremated remains that unclaimed that we're going to, you know, have a ceremony up there, and we're going to move their remains up there. We got a concrete plaid pad installed, and so we're going to have a nice ceremony and get them moved. But since in the meantime, in the past 2 weeks, we've actually found out we have two more veterans that we submitted, and they are veterans unclaimed. And we're going to be in the process of setting up a ceremony down at the, you know, a military ceremonial burial down at the Cemetery of Allegheny. So it's a program that's, you know, it's definitely, you know, moving along. And, you know, we're fortunate, you know, we've invited the bishop to join us from the Diocese of Greensburg to come down and spend some time with us that day and that. And it's not going to be the ceremony we had with Operation Dignity back in July, but of 2022. But, you know, it's going to be something that's going to be very, very tasteful and just something that we can lay those, you know, people to rest and a better situation than a, you know, a storage room.
How does it happen? You know, how does it happen that someone is unclaimed? I can imagine that, you know, they're just a lack of family, but what have you seen in most cases?
Probably the lack of family. And we have, you know, ways that we can, you know, try to track down next to kin if we can't. And, you know, sometimes we're usually pretty successful, but sometimes we're not. And sometimes we just hit a dead end where we can't find anyone. And then other times we find out that there's, you know, people that, you know, they just, you know, some of the responses you get on the phone, hey, I didn't lake them when they were alive. Why would I do anything now? And, you know, so, and the cost isn't really overwhelming. I mean, you know, if we ask someone to take responsibility, you know, that's, you know, we give them some, you know, people that they can, you know, talk to in terms of, you know, if they want to get them cremated and take care of the remains. So, but yeah, usually that's it. You know, hey, maybe I don't have the money, you know, mm-hmm. to responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, they were a decent person, but I just can't do it. So we're finding that more and more here in the past, you know, especially the past, seems like 6 months, our numbers keep going up, you know, with that.
Yeah. You've had some partners who've really assisted you and come to your aid. to help with this process, funeral homes, different organizations, things like that, correct?
Yeah, we've been fortunate. Back in 2022, when we did everything, the Panalone Funeral Home in Greensburg was very instrumental in helping us, because you have to have like a funeral home take responsibilities of the cremated remains. They kind of had a, I don't say sign off on them, but that was a process we had to do to get them down to the cemetery of Alleghenies and that. And they were, Nat and his team was very, great with helping us with that. And we had several meetings and things, and they were always there to, whatever we needed, in terms of that. And then, Stone and Company Concrete's, had been generous enough to, donate all the concrete and that for the cement pad that we needed up there, with the service at the end of the month. So yeah, we've been, real, and all the elected officials been really real gracious. And it's not like they're like, hey, what's in it for me? I mean, they just want to see what was right, to do the right thing as well. So it's worked out well.
You found a couple of stories that came out about these individuals. I mean, these were, you had a variety, right? Like World War I, World War II, Vietnam. I mean, right? There was a variety and some stories that came out of these cremains.
Yeah, Jenny, this is Alonzo. Yeah, there's been quite a few. And a matter of fact, I think Timmy, I just gave him a one of the veterans. We just had an email come in here, and people were doing some research, and a woman was looking for her brother. And it's one of the ones that we actually buried at the Alleghenies. And we do keep a ledger on our county webpage of all their names and that. So if a family member is looking, and we keep records here in the office. We actually have to keep those records forever. But there's been some interesting, this one here was just recent, probably in the last 2 weeks, that Timmy got a nice letter from this sister of this guy that disappeared years ago. He was a Vietnam veteran, actually, and he had some mental health issues, and they lost track of him over the years. And she is out west in one of Minnesota, or one of the states out that way. And we our research, when we're looking for someone, I mean, we use a program called TLO, which is a investigative tool that will, hits on anybody that had a credit card or an address or anything. It's really a tool that helps us very well trying to locate family. Well, in his case, over the years, that was years ago, they never did locate any family. And it was just out of coincidence with her going on and seeing the Operation Dignity, looking at the list and seeing her brother's name on it. And she really thanked Timmy for giving him a proper burial and doing what he did. But yeah, there's a lot of background to it that obviously that's appreciative. That was a nice email we got from her. And she really, we're sending her some items now, getting together that day, some pictures and things to give her some closure in it too. But back to what Timmy was saying about, we're seeing more and more of the unclaimed. We, to determine unclaimed, we have to go through all the efforts, and then we determine it. But a lot of it too, we're seeing in the unclaimed is with a lot of families that have had drug abuse issues in them. And, where the families have been split for years, and our unclaimed obviously is growing very tremendously, and it's becoming concerning. And it's not just us; it's also other coroners across the state of Pennsylvania, which Tim and I, you want to tell her about? We had a meeting with Kim Ward's office.
Yeah, we had a meeting with Senator Ward and her staff, about seeing what we could do to, get funding or that sort of thing to help with the costs that we're getting, hit with, taking care of these unclaimed, remains. So that's been a big thing. And they've been very helpful in trying to get something in front of the Senate, in the House to, hopefully, help out, not just us, but other coroners and, some of the medical examiners throughout the state.
So, Mr. Alonzo, you're saying that the sometimes drug abuse and addiction gets so badly that these people actually break off and disappear from their families.
Absolutely. And when we're talking to the family members, and we go down to every known next of kin, which could be a distant cousin, second, third cousin, we go down the tree to try to establish someone that would take possession of these members or become responsible for them. And it's amazing the stories that we hear, like, yeah, he was my father, but I was born, I never had contact with him. He'd been, on drugs and in and out of rehab for the last since I was, a young girl, and I have had no relationship with him, and I don't want one now, and I refuse to take possession. It's heartbreaking when you hear, that we can't even, that someone won't even take someone and give them a proper burial or assume responsibility. But we're running into that quite a bit now. Matter of fact, we were doing some stats the other day, and cremation wise, I mean, unclaimed, our numbers from the last time, we're already at 54 civilian side cremains. And the two veterans that we got, one we actually got is the county in one of their homes. They found the remains, some woman that left her lease, left it there. And then when we get these, I mean, we're trying, first thing we try to do is determine whether they were, and they have to be discharged honorably to be eligible. So first thing we try to determine is if that person is a veteran, which helps because then we can get them a, the government will give them a proper burial. If not, then we have to go through all, and our workload is probably tripled in this office because of what we're seeing more and more of with the unclaimed. It's become very frustrating. I've talked to other coroners in the state that have over 200 unclaimed. I have, it's just phenomenal what's happening, and it's going off the chart. And a lot of it that we see is drug related. It's breaking the families apart.
Wow. And so 54, so you had a number around 50. You were able to lay it to rest, what, about a dozen veterans?
15. We took it down. So it went from 57 to 42.
But
We're back
then
up 54.
back
So,
up to 54 already, just in the
and
last 2 years.
yeah, less, a little bit less than, but yeah, we're up to that. Probably one of the most interesting stories that I tell people is we had a situation last year. A gentleman died up in Greensburg, and one of our deputies went and did investigating and all that, and found out there was some insurance monies there, and well over $1 million. And we reached out to next of kin and all that, and it started out as like a second or third cousin, and they're like, "No way, I'm not claiming responsibility. He was no good when he was alive and that." And we couldn't tell them that, hey, you might want to reconsider your thought, in terms of that. They finally, because they literally were gonna, be able to, get that money, because that's all it was there was that, them in terms of next of kin. So they finally, after probably about a week to 10 days, it was at the point we were getting ready to just take responsibility, and then obviously we would have had to turn the, we would turn the money over to the state. But they finally said, okay, we'll do, because there was a truck or something. So they said, we'll try to sell the truck, and then we were able to tell them, well, by the way, here's what, you're gonna, receive for taking responsibility of your cousin or whatever. So, that's probably the most bizarre and interesting, situation we've had occur with these unclaimed remains.
Oh, I bet you could write a book with the stories that you see there for sure. We're talking to Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson and Deputy Coroner Al Lonzo about their efforts to properly lay to rest unclaimed cremains. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some trending in drug-related deaths. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson and Deputy Coroner Al Lonzo. I'm really interested to talk this morning about any trending you're seeing in drug-related overdose deaths.
Well, right now, I mean, the big thing that we're seeing is the Fortunately for our county right now, the overdose numbers are trending down, which is a good thing. Obviously, we right now are on target. If the trend would continue, we would have about 84 overdoses by the end of the year, which is a drop from last year where we had 96. So, which is definitely encouraging. And a lot of times people ask, what do you see or why is that? And I think there's several factors. There's a lot of good organizations out there, from Sage's Army to the Westmoreland County Drug and Alcohol Council. There's a lot of people that are, it's that old thing where you throw something at the wall and see what sticks, and you have no idea if your efforts or, how they're helping or whatever. We go out a lot and speak to, schools in terms of the distracted driving and the mock crashes during prom season. And, like I always tell people, I always can tell that we got the audience, when you look out, and yeah, you might have a few, young guys that are snickering, but then when you see, tears rolling down girls' eyes or even, boys' eyes, you know that your message is getting through. But so, yeah, in terms of the drugs and that, we're still seeing a lot of the xylazine, which is the animal tranquilizer. That's been a big thing. It's pretty, almost in half of our cases. Where we do our toxicology reports, when we get the results back, then it shows what all's in the their overdose and that, and that's the acute drug and toxicity report that comes back, and so it shows a lot what's in there in their system and that. So that's been something that's been a definitely hasn't gone down for whatever reasons. Westmoreland County is one of the counties in the state that the numbers are really high, and we started seeing it, xylazine, as early as 2019. It was coming back in some of the tox reports, and it's just kind of gone up and up and up every year. And like I said, it sits around the 50%. But the big thing now is still the fentanyl. You very rarely, we have next to nothing in terms of heroin, but the fentanyl, and now the xylazine cut in with the fentanyl. A couple weeks ago, up in the northern part of the county, we had some, cocaine, which we don't see too often. It was laced with fentanyl. So,
Is that because of the price? Is that really what it boils down to? Availability, that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, from talking to the detectives and all that, I mean, that definitely price is something that, factors in, and, it's a cheap high, and, but people just don't know what they're ingesting. They have no idea in terms of the potential harm that's that they're creating.
That xylazine is not a good death, right? I mean, it's wounds.
Yeah,
open,
I mean,
sores,
it's depending terrible. On it does it creates. There's a place out in Philadelphia. We actually had a New York TV station come and do a documentary last year. And, they talked about what it's called Robinson Street out in Philadelphia. It's like a, row where there's nothing but, drug abusers and drug dealers and that. And they call it like Trank too.
Trank.
People are like the zombie Trank. Drug. They're literally, the people that really are into this xylazine, makes them numb, but it also creates sores all over their body. And it was just nasty. And that's why they actually came out to Westmoreland, because we had a young lady, a young girl that overdosed on xylazine, and her family put up a billboard in Greensburg, just, explaining the dangers of, drugs and what happened to her and that. So that's why they came out here and, they did the documentary and that. So, the xylazine is definitely a nasty, a nasty death, as you said a moment ago.
Education, awareness, all still very important for young people, all people.
Yeah. I mean, that's been, and that's what we try to do. We get out in the community as much as we can. We go to, the national night outs. We're out there a lot. That's one thing when I took over as coroner that I wanted to be, you know, I didn't want to sit in here every day and just, you know, go over numbers and that, because, you know, a lot of people, especially when I was running, didn't realize that the corner's position is not a medical, you know, you don't have to be a doctor. You know, I would tell people that, and they were like shocked, because the people were saying, well, what's your qualifications? And, you know, we don't do autopsies and that. We have a pathologist that does the, you know, it does our autopsies and that. It's more of a management position, you know, overseeing things, you know, surrounding yourself with, you know, with good people like I have, and you know, with Al Alonzo here. I mean, it's those types of things. It's not, you know, a lot of people think of a corner, they think of like Quincy, or they think like SVU or something like that, you know.
Also, we look at the problems we're having and what we think we could do to help fix them. So, for instance, on our child deaths, Tim Kamabat, we had a meeting with our pathologist, Dr. Hammers. And, you know, these crib deaths that people talk about, we said the numbers are ridiculous that we're seeing at the state level or at the, you know, state health department. So we've included a lot of additional testing now that we're trying to eliminate those numbers, reduce them phenomenally, so that we can determine the real cause of death. We're finding children with some special testing where they have an ear infection caused a death, or something that we typically in the past, things that weren't tested for. So Timmy has taken our funds and we've eliminated some of the autopsies that we don't have to do. And we're promoting more now to do additional testing. For instance, he implemented a program here a couple months back with the Pennsylvania, you know, DOT, because when we send off the death accident on the road, that driver, we have to get two tubes of blood, send them off to the state lab for testing. Well, the state labs aren't up to the new drugs yet. They don't test for xylene. They don't test for, you know, fentanyl. They don't. So we're saying to them, we're calling them saying, well, we're going to test so that the local police know when we get this back that, you know, that these people were under the influence of these drugs. So we're looking at everything we can do. Plus, Tim just went on a board now for the child death review program that we're working with. It's that we interview all child deaths with all the proper agencies, and then a report goes up to the Pennsylvania State Health Department. And these are the programs that helps that look at these things and say, what can we do to curb this? What can we do to, you know, reduce these deaths? So we're trying to look more at that part of this office here and really look at what we can do to make it better. And I think that Tim's motive has been very good here to do. And I'm glad to be part of it, because it's a nice, gives you a little better feeling about, you know, you're doing, accomplishing something that's of value.
We have 1 minute left. I just wanted to touch briefly on your partnership with children. You had mentioned before we started with the show that you're really trying to focus on young people and education.
Yeah, I mean, we started a program called with the Cribs for Kids. You know, when we had the three infant deaths in last year, two of them were due to unsafe sleeping with mom and dad, and they turned out they didn't have cribs. So we hooked up with the Cribs for Kids out of Allegheny County, a national organization. They're actually going worldwide. And we get we're able to get cribs. We get all private donations for them. And then anyone can reach out to, you know, our office through our website, through Westmoreland County, you know, the coroner's office. And, you know, we teach safe sleep classes. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but, you know, for younger parents and, you know, some of these kids that are younger, it's definitely been a good thing. So that's something, if anyone wants information, they can, you know, feel free to reach out to our site. And if they need a crib, we'll get them a crib.
Wow. This has been a wonderful conversation with Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson and Deputy Coroner Alonzo. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on WHJB. I look forward to talking with you again and learning more about your initiatives to prevent deaths in Westmoreland County.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.